Bonnie Gani, everyone. This is Professor Amin Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach Africana Studies Department, former City Councilman for the City of Compton, former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees, and former Compton School District Unified School District. We want to thank each and every one of you for zooming in today. We're going to have a very important, very, very important discussion, because history is the foundation of all understanding, and history is our record, a record of activism, a record of struggle, a record of achievement. And we're going to have this discussion about Cal State Long Beach and the Long Beach community. But before we get started, I just again want to welcome each and every one of you and hope that you will tune in. This is going to be a series from 1967 to 70 is the night we're going to discuss. And then we're going to go from 70 to 75, 75 to 80, and 70, 80 to 85, and all the way up to 2004 when I retired. And we're going to do it in session. And we hope that you come back for the other sessions too. We start with the activism of the 60s that was inspired by the Black Liberation Movement. You would not have the Black Conscious Movement of the 60s without the Black Liberation Movement. The Black Liberation Movement was in two phases. One was the Civil Rights phase, which we already recognized this week, through Martin Luther King and the Christian movement of integration and thought laws of segregation, why we can do a lot of things we do today. And we give respect and honor to his martyrdom and his being a role model for young people to emulate. And we'll talk about that a little later. And we also had a Black Power movement that was a part of the liberation movement. And that started about in 67 all the way up. And it was 66, really. Well, really 65, if you count the Watts Rebellion.
I'm on a podcast.
And it changed us from Negro to a Black empowerment, Black empowerment movement put together by Ricky Ricks. And at that time, Stokely Carmichael, who popularized the term and the freedom of the March Against Fear, when they shot James Meredith, and they completed his march. And when they were marching, it was Ricky Ricks and brother Stokely Carmichael at that time, who now he made his transition, and we give honor and respect to all that he contributed. But anyway, we want to wish all of you blessings without numbers and all good things without end, as we say in Kaweida. And we want you to know you found your family in a peaceful place. And we hope that you will join us for these broadcasts. And if you have people or programs that you want to discuss, leave your name, number in the chat, or just call me or call if you want to get the number before you leave to get someone on that can talk about our achievements, our struggle, the best of us when we was at our heights. And during the 60s, it made excellent progress. And many people stand on the shoulders of some of the people that brought forth that consciousness. And that consciousness in Long Beach led to the first election of a Black city councilman, Jim Wilson. It led to Black activism with Frank Berry and the NAACP. Reverend Cheney, Reverend Easter, and all of them got active. Matter of fact, the first person shot during the Watts Rebellion was shot in Long Beach. It was a police officer. And most people don't know that. People just think it was in Watts. But Long Beach was on fire also. And then you remember 555 Pacific Coast, Long Beach Improvement League, and then all the other things on Olives, the Head Starts, and all those programs grew out of the Black Power Movement. And we want to thank all those that contributed to it. First, we're going to get some comments from two of the people that was there in the early 60s, specifically Alfred, I call him Alfred Jones, but at that time we had nicknames. I was Sleepy Arthur Montgomery. He was Squeaky at that time, but he's a soldier in Long Beach way before He got active at Long Beach campus. He was captain of the Black Panther Party of Long Beach. But above all, he's just a strong brother. His whole family was strong. And he was one of the original Long Beach people. So Brother Alfred, tell us some of the reflections that you have about not just the movement at Cal State Long Beach, but, you know, we go back to Coleman's and restaurant, and we go back to Kelly's bookstore. We go back to some of the most beautiful things that we were doing and that
the
people were
team
doing.
Post and Rec.
Go ahead, Alfred.
Well, let me, my memory don't fail me, brother. Yeah, them days was awakening for all of us. I was born and raised in Long Beach, so it was very personal and fundamental in terms of to be active and get involved in what was going on in Long Beach. And at the same time, trying to create an atmosphere where people would get involved through my activism and through the things I learned when I got connected to the party, which was a new birth, an eye opener. You're talking about a young Black man that came into the, all that was coming at the same time. And I remember just going to up on Central to the Panther office, saying we wanted to be Panthers. And we was back in 3 days going to Huey Newton's trial there in Oakland. And on the bus, Erica Hoggins, rolling a whole lot of people that helped the Panther Party at that time get its footing and create what followed. And I would take all that information and get it back, papers, everything, and just go out there and to whoever I could meet and whoever wanted to stop and talk and explain the Black Panther Party Temple Point program, what we was trying to do, and that we wasn't gonna be killed off by the police, and some of the things in the community that we had to quit doing, that we had to rise above to make this community and make our struggle a viable one, a believable one, and that we was dedicated to that struggle. Because at that time, it was all in for me and some of my other younger brothers. I mean, we was all in. That's all we wanted to be. That's all we wanted to be about. We wanted to wake up that community. Excuse me. We want to wake up that community, and everybody we met and talked to was about the struggle and where we are, were as Black people, and what we needed to do. And that was the beginning, brother. Lighting that fire.
All right. Well, but the most important thing to Alfred was that you laid a foundation. Obviously with your presence. And I remember that meeting we had in 68 at an apartment when we elected Tony. But prior to Tony, there was a brother named Victor something.
Victor Brown.
Victor Brown. He was appointed the BSU president. He had transitioned from a Negro organization to a BSU that Clyde Taylor played a major part in establishing the BSU at Cal State Long Beach. But he left in 69. Joe White had left in 68. They were very essential to the movement. It was faculty inspired and faculty influenced as far as having that on campus. But off campus, you had a lot of, Poly was, Long Beach Poly played a very important role because that's where all the Black people stayed, went to school at that time.
And then it's quickly tell about the Youth Action Movement, YAM.
Oh, wow. Now you take me way back now. That was something. What was Claude and
Pin Daddy.
Pin Daddy, Anthony Pitts,
Chris Gaines,
John Calloway.
Yeah, y'all could just name them, and them brothers kind of created an atmosphere for other brothers, younger brothers, us, can come and they constantly knowledge, speaking what was going on outside of Long Beach.
Woodrow.
Yeah, Woodrow Nichols.
And his brother, Monk.
I mean, they just kept that going. It was like I'm trying to think of some of the things back in when we had
Hey Squeaky, remember Katoomba?
Yeah, it was martial arts and stuff. Yeah, it was so many. It was just so many people, and it came through Long Beach. That was a part of that, and man,
I came in 68 and Squeaky, I'm still calling Squeaky. he had established the Black Panther Party. Him and I used to sell Panther newspapers on the campus. And then we'd have to go out and report the money that we collected to Shermont Banks. I have never seen Squeaky so upset. We had to take some sunglasses up there. But they started the BSU before I got there, and I got in. And Rod, you was already a sergeant at arms. Tony was president. Dwight Herbert.
Well, me and Squeaky was sergeant of arms.
Oh, you and Squeaky
were sergeant of arms? We both was elected sergeant of arms.
Okay.
Right.
And I was head of the on-campus committee, and then we were all over at the off-campus dorms, Rod. And
election, when they elected Tony, we was at an apartment off of California, if I'm not mistaken. I remember we didn't elect the people at Cal State Long Beach, the first officers after Victor. It was at an apartment because Laura Murphy and Valerie invited me to it because I was dealing with Joella's sister, Vanessa, and we all came up there together, and that's when they elected Tony as president of the BSU.
And then there was Cynthia Nash. Remember, she was up there.
Yeah.
And then Clifton Mars, Chunky.
Yeah, of course you got to remember Chunky. He played a major role in the Black Ethnic Rebellion also before the 68 revolt of Black athletes. There was a movement by black athletes at Long Beach before we got there, challenging how they was treating Black athletes
times. We were young. Alfred was a little young, older than I am, and Rod was a little about a year and a half older now, and they established stuff before I even got there.
Yeah. Well, we hung out in your dorm room, so you know your dorm room was a centerpiece at that time, Earl. Back to this Dale Clinton.
Yes,
going to be the president of be the Grand Marshal of the Martin Luther King Parade this year. She's in her 90s. You had a number of people that were very active once they saw the youth and the people strong, they came out strong. Before then, it was quiet. If it don't be for the movement, we are the stronger people come out. And so that was a beautiful thing.
1 minute on the Zoom call.
But the community, your community.
I'm going to turn it along.
In Long Beach was just as active as any other community.
We brought them out, no doubt about it.
Now, Alfred, remember, after a couple of years, we moved off campus to the Black House over there in California.
That was in 70 when y'all
about 70, out. The Black Political Collective. And we're still holding down the BSU as well as the Black Political Collective.
Trying to get establish a base in the community.
But at the same time, the beautiful thing about the movement at Cal State Long Beach, once you established the BSU there, that you actually intimidated the campus.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you ran off 4 presidents, you know, and you also, you made the 49er newspaper give you critical space to write articles. I think Valerie had an article.
Yes.
Dan Scott had an article, and he was a capper. And then there was the other brother, Graham. I can't remember his name, but his son took my class. But he was essential. And Dewey, Dwight Herbert was very central. Right.
Well, Rob, remember you the first Black Studies program was at San Francisco State, but the first Black Studies department was at Cal State Long Beach.
We were one of the first that started a department. Because see, you got to remember Cal State, at that time, Cal State, Santa Barbara,
San Francisco.
Northridge and Cal State LA, they were on fire too.
Yes.
Cal State LA had a.
But we were in Long Beach, they started a statewide BSU council in the 69. Because some of the leaders of the BSU at Cal State, it was called Cal State Long Beach then, went up north. Met with some of them people to start that. But anyway, it was so intimidating. Not only did they give you space on the 49er, they also gave you a space in the bookstore.
Yeah.
You had a spot in the bookstore.
That's right, because I manned the table up there.
And we got to remember the central role, Serapman's house role.
That's right.
With regard to fundraising.
Right.
That's right.
Yes, well,
Alfred, remember now, Valerie started, and her and Laura started our newspaper, the Burning Spear. Remember that?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, right. You had your own newspaper, plus she had articles.
Yes, that's right.
And then, as well as not just that, it was so demanding that to get the Black Studies Department was a milestone
you did what I wanted to do.
When San Francisco State, Clyde Taylor and Lindsay Thomas had a class, they were going to start a literary class before the Black Studies Department was established in Long Beach. They were going to offer a class in literature.
And Orr Williams, remember Orr Williams, Alfred? Orr Williams started that literature thing with the black literature too, as well as Donna's husband.
Emory Evans.
You know who I'm talking about. You know
Emory.
Emory was essential.
Yeah,
he was a part of the Watts Prophet. And he was loved by the students, loved.
Yeah, Watts Prophet, write his works.
And see, what happened was, after the demand at Black Studies, and not only just that, EOP wouldn't even have came into being.
Oh, that's right.
The movement and Upward Bound. All of that came from the
West. Right. That's right. All of that came from
the that to create.
And you two played a central role in that.
Yeah.
Yes,
along with students. Woody Elston, and at that time he came in
from Compton Centennial High School. Yep.
Yeah, 68.
Curtis Clark.
And Curtis and Little Smith, Sam Smith.
Sam Smith.
And all of them.
Emory Adams, I was talking about the poet.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Emory Evans.
And Donna's husband.
That's right.
Yeah. She's a Walimu now. But, and then you took it off campus. Yolanda Reed, them started Children's Space in Compton.
Now, remember, we used to do Malcolm X Days at King Park on May 19th, Ron. Remember Alfred?
Before it was King Park, it was
19th Street Park. It was 19th Street Park.
Oh, yeah, before that, because that's where Pitts and what's the one you had mentioned, Squeaky? I mean, Rob, Alfred.
Sonny Pitts, or are you talking
Sonny
about?
Sonny Pitts, them, all of them used to hang at the park.
Yeah. Yep. Ben Daddy and all of them.
Along with Samad, Willie Martin, and the McBride. Ernest McBride.
Right.
I think the shame of it all, though, Rob, is that when I go on Cal State Long Beach's campus, I don't see that many Black males on that campus.
Well, when we started EOP, when y'all started EOP, because y'all had power.
That's right.
You had the ability to admit
recruit.
Then the European, with the assistance of the black people we put in position, June Cooper, who was a vice president. She went from speech faculty, speech to chairman of the speech department to vice president. That was all because of the movement.
That's
Barbara
right.
George. Barbara right. George is the one that closed down the BSU office where you had Letter and Mueller on the window.
That's right.
Gave it back to the business. And she made the statement, if you're an EOP student, you can't be in my class. But she even got the deanship if it wasn't for our struggle.
Let me put a little levity into it, Rob. I'm going to make everybody laugh. Now, Ivan Ra brought in the Whispers and the Young Hearts to the campus. And you know, brothers and sisters, I'm going to talk to y'all, but Ra will never want to say it. He changed, Squiggy, he changed five times, and I thought he was changing with the Whisper. I thought he was changing with the Whispers.
You thought
it? And he had a deep voice.
It was called the Soul Concert.
And I didn't sing with the Whispers.
We called the Soul Concert, And the first one was in the gym.
With the Young Hearts.
Yeah, with the Young Hearts and Long Beach group that I sang with later. Thornton, the Deltones.
The Deltones.
Yeah, from Long Beach.
Yes.
Yeah, they performed.
And then, you know, didn't War used to be over there near the central area? The group War, they from Long Beach.
Yeah. They rehearsed
Brother
in Long Beach. They
Crazy
rehearsed
Brother
over
Clyde.
There. They rehearsed off the 20th.
I gotta go do this class, man. I just want to get you and Alfred over there. We can talk about. But you know what? What disappoints me, Alfred, when I go on that campus, there's not many black males on that campus. We
but
got
there's
to talk
a reason.
That.
There's a reason.
Your definite reason.
They had to dissipate the strength of black, not just black, not black students, not black women either. The enrollment that went down to about 7 or 8%.
That's a shame.
No,
that was the original struggle to get more blacks. There's a college, local community college in the sense state right here in Long Beach, and we didn't have no black input, no black students. That was a whole EOP, upward bound recruit. But they
before
didn't
I go, Rob, tell them about Roland Peterson too.
Yeah. That's in 70.
In the 70s.
71, 72.
And Ron
but before that. But wait a minute, before that, we had Bobby Smith,
uh-huh.
And we demonstrated about Tony's assassination.
That's right.
His martyrdom. There were people that were shot before then that we struggled for.
That's right. Rob, I got to go and do this class with these young brothers, man. Hey,
all right.
We got to get together sometime. Give me a call.
Earl, before you go, this is Sidney Lee. Let me say hi to you. What's up? This is Sidney Lee, now known as Rashid, but I gotta say hi to you, Earl.
How you doing, man?
Doing great. I mean, sitting here taking it all up.
Oh, that's great.
I'm soaking it all up. Good to see. I mean, just standing on the shoulders that you guys did. Thank you.
Tell you
I value you what you've done.
Ra and Squeaky put their lives on the line. Ra
you did
put
too.
Their
you
lives
did
on
too.
The line for that movie.
All of us
and
did.
And so the Tony Wilkins and Dewey.
Well,
yes, sir.
We didn't
yes,
think
sir.
We was going to get killed. We thought we was going to do some killing.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I got to go.
Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Sidney was a part of the movement also in the early, Sidney wasn't late.
I came in spring of 71 through the EOP program.
All right.
Yes.
Freddie Davis, Ree Burks. You know,
right.
Brought me JP Marsh, who was the cousin of BB, that played bass for War.
Yeah.
And another friend of ours who unfortunately shot him, and killed him. But we were all friends and we all came in through the EOP program in spring of 1971.
And that was
the time when Earl and Willie Elston, they were leaving out. And we were becoming involved, when we came in through the EOP program, I was somehow placed into both JP and I. We were placed into Angelo Bosco's class. I don't know if you guys remember Angelo Bosco, but he was teaching. He had primarily the Chicanos, the Mexicans, and he was really striving on how much the Associated Students made in terms of what kind of budget they had in spring of 1971. they were already operating a budget of over $1 million.
Mm-mm.
So when Jeffrey Lakes came in, which where I'm going to just turn the conversation back over to you, but I came in spring, myself, J.P. Marsh, and Ryan, we came in spring of 71, and that's when we met you, Ron, and you were teaching Black Mass, Black Media. Yeah, that was my first class with you.
Before that, the Black faculty was not just Oral Williams. You had Ron Lunsford, remember him?
Right.
He was out of Longview. He was from
Longview.
He lived there. Ron Lunsford, you had Fillmore Freeman, you had Lindsay Thomas, you had Professor Stephen Allen, Stephen something, he was a biology teacher. Miss Bass was a Cash was a biology teacher. And we had this brother named, I forget his name, Keith Collins, I think he was. He taught history. And then, all those people, and Tillman taught economics. It was very few. And the little brother Oscar that worked down in the maintenance or summer garden downstairs, Oscar was there.
Yeah, North campus.
And then Nap Harris was there. Ron Settle's mother worked in student activities, because that's where I met her at that first time. And that's what people led that demonstration by Broke Pieces. But we're getting into that. But Alfred, do you have any other points you want to make about when you was coming up there with the BSU at Cal State Long Beach?
Well, it was like I had a dual role of being a student, but at the same time, that passive role overtook everything. We was trying our best to enlighten, get students to be active, and their true role. What are you going to college? How you see yourself and going to define yourself? What is this going to be about related to the larger struggle? Because we needed the expertise. We was trying to create not only teachers and masters of different arts and different things, but also soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
That campus at that time, young minds, young bodies, and we had rallies, we had dances where we pulled the majority of Black people. Even those that didn't agree with us showed up to see what was going on. It's amazing to be involved in that. I think with being so young and looking at pictures and being involved in that it was a, there you go. It was something else.
Let's grow on somebody. All right, man. That's interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I keep up with him, let it know.
Yeah, that was
next time. Thanks,
okay.
Professor.
Alfred.
Yeah.
You remember the establishment of Black Studies, where they had over 500 students from off campus, came and demonstrated in the president's office. I got a picture of you being there. In the newspaper and. There were a number of demonstrations. And without Tony Wilkins, who was a great leader and a non-compromising leader in his leadership to demand the things that he demanded and that the organization demanded. Because there was the BSU was a drop-in, drop-out. Well, I mean, drop in, drop out. There was no application to join, and we just claimed every Black person there because they thought every Black person there was in the BSU.
Right.
And the Black students that didn't come didn't know that they were included by the school.
Right.
They put investigation on all of us. Every Black student that came.
They tried to arrest me on campus one day. Yeah.
So it was a very strong, but the establishment of Black Studies with Lance Jeffries, Clyde Taylor, and
remember John Calloway.
Calloway. Yeah, he was one of the first faculty members. As a matter of fact, I got a list of the first faculty members in 69. You Miss Mahan. Emily Knight. Chunky, of course, Clifton Marsh, Emory Evans, Trellie Jeffries. That she was married to Lance Jeffries. That's right. In English, what the guy became a provost?
Terry Metcalf.
Huh?
Terry Metcalf?
No. It was.
You said, okay.
No, he was in speech at first, or English at first, in the English department. His name will come to me a little later. But his wife worked in language skills along with Trellie Jeffries, because she taught classes in the Black Studies Department and also the language department. Anatole, Anatole's wife was a part of the language thing. But the beautiful thing about Tony and the leadership of the BSU in the 60s and all that is that they were non-compromising. They disrupted the library, disrupted any place where the Caucasians administration thought they had peace. They bust down doors, offices, demonstrate. They interrupted the academic senate. And then we developed coalitions with the
Mexican organization.
Chicago.
What was that called?
Lamas and La
Raza.
Ross. No, that was after. They changed it into Raza. It was something else. But not only that, SDS, Student Democratic Society. Remember, we had to save them because the football players, the white football players, was beating them one time, and we had to pull them up off of them.
Well, I'm telling you, they was all right. It was all right.
It's not, we saving white people.
Yeah, I remember that.
They were getting beat down by the radical football players at that time.
So anything white, they jumped.
Yeah, so those were serious times. We were riding the middle of the quad. They were beating the white boys. And me and you separated them. So it was a mean struggle. But getting back to Tony and that leadership, words cannot explain how they laid the foundation for the consciousness of BSUs to follow them. As far as establishing a no compromise. Now, as Earl said, when they moved from the BSU because Bobby George took their office, and then when I met with Stephen Horn in 69, they wanted me to work. They had shut Black Studies down. They took the keys to the office because Tony was appointed by, when they started Black Studies at first, it was a student advisory, and that was the executive board of the BSU.
Right.
You understand? And they really ran Black Studies.
Right.
And so what happened was when Jackson, who signed the contract, he was out in New York or something, Dr. Jackson, he came, got interviewed, signed the contract, but then he resigned and never came. And that's when Ernie Clark took his classes. And Calloway and all of them took his classes and that he was supposed to. So they didn't have a chair. They didn't have a chair because he was hiring Jackson as a chair. So the student advisory appointed Tony to be the chair. So Tony was a student. He hadn't graduated.
Right.
So Trellie Jeffries, Oconee and all of them said they wasn't going to take orders from a student.
Right.
And so they went to the administration and the administration couldn't move Tony out. So they shut the offices down, locked them out, and wouldn't pay nobody or rehire nobody. Right. So Tarkanian and Demos wanted me to meet the incoming president, Stephen Horn, because I was out there, you know. And so I went there, they were going to give me a job in the athletic. And I said, no, we want to reopen Black Study. That's how I got into the mix with Black Study. I didn't really want to run it. I went to the BSU executive board and said, and I got it in an article, and said, we're going to rehire everybody y'all hired. Well, first of all, when they told me that they was going to let me have the position, I didn't keep it a secret. I ran to the BSU office and talked to the leadership and told them, hey, listen, I got them to reopen Black Studies because they were planning big demonstrations when fall started. This was in the summer.
Right.
And so I was reopening. Y'all can run it. I got it in the article also. We rehired everybody y'all hired. I just wanted to get it back open and y'all run it. But they got the leadership, not the masses of BSU, but the leadership said, no, we was planning demonstrations and we was going to run it. So they got mad at me. I said, oh, wow. So I said, damn, I had to learn how to run a department by myself almost. And,
yeah.
And I brought back Emory. I asked every one of them to come back. Oconee stayed, Trellie Jeffries stayed. Chris Onick, he left. Chunky said he was going to get his PhD. And a couple of others, they wouldn't. Evelyn Knight, she said she wasn't coming back. She was part-time anyway. And so anyway, it was like that. But that's how
they're fighting over them pay slots.
And so they reconstituted the Black Studies Department, and they appointed me as administrator with all the duties of a chairman. And so that's when. But I told them they thought they would be able to run Black Studies from the white administration by hiring me.
Right.
But I kept it black. You understand? And so that's when they made the move on me in '72. And I kept my line. They said, he's a damn double agent. You know, I say, hey, man, you know, I ain't never like that. Yeah, y'all. You understand? But anyway, that's how we got started with the Black Studies Department. And that's why Tony was the first student chair of Black Student Union. Right. Black Student. But I was the first chair of the reconstituted department. In 1970, they reconstituted, started it all over. And that's when we started moving strong. And the enrollment doubled. But the classes that we had, Black Reality, The Ghetto Child, Needs of the Ghetto Child, Afro-American Social Thought, Black Development of Black Literature, Afro literature, Black theater art. At one time, we were proposing a guerrilla warfare class.
Yeah.
And then we had Black science and math and science. We had research, all of that. Our goal was to get a dean, a school of ethnic studies. That was the goal.
Yeah.
But to this day, we don't have a master's because we put people like June Cooper, Doug Robinson, and
all we had that all was there that, you know, with us not having no history of these people and history how to run things, we thought people was just, you know, Black, gonna fall in line and be a part of the struggle. Well, they working for a payroll.
Yeah.
They working to be recognized and shit.
Yeah, Jim Robinson.
They wanted to handle us. That's what they were trying to do.
when we brought Walter Reed in for the affirmative action officer, his job, he started criticizing them for their racism. And they said, we didn't bring you in here for that. We brought you in as affirmative action officer to help us get around the law.
There's ways we can do what we want to do.
And see, Jim Robinson was hired as a dean, but he couldn't get hired unless we gave him retreat rights, because no white department would give him retreat rights. That's how he got the Black Studies. He didn't apply to Black Studies. He failed in Black Studies because they got rid of him as a dean in faculty development. And that's how he got in there. Walter Reed, I met with him and told him when he got hired as director of affirmative action, because he was criticizing them about not hiring Blacks in the library. I told him, get your retreat right. He had never heard of that until I brought it up to him. And that's how he got to be a counselor. He got his retreat rights in being a counselor. But he didn't come there as a counselor. He came there as director of affirmative action. But when he didn't play ball with them, they wouldn't rehire him. But he had faculty rights to go back into counseling. And Jim Robinson, who came there in education from Stanford, he went to school with the dean, Mannheim, and they were, their job was to get me out of Black Studies. His job was to get me out of Black Studies. And that when they couldn't do that, and then they moved him. He's supposed to have been the dean, because Hyden Cox, I don't know if y'all remember, he was the dean of the School of Letters and Science. He retired, and Robinson was hired as the second over faculty development, academic development. He was supposed to take his place, but they got rid of him right after, when they knew that Hyden Cox was going to retire. They put him in, they offered him some more money to take faculty development. And then they fired him from faculty development, and he ended up with his retreat rights in Black Studies. But as Alfred said, we thought we was getting a Black dean that was going to help him. But Robinson at that time was coming there to close down Black Studies. Yeah, I mean, that's the way that went. So first of all, I'm going to get some questions and anybody. Brother Thibodeau, you have any questions you want to ask, discussion, comment? And although you came in the 80s, you were very essential.
No, I'm just enjoying the conversation.
All right, then.
I appreciate the history.
And what about this brother? He just got iPad 2.
Who's that?
You muted. You muted.
Hey, what's up, Professor Amara?
All right.
It's Brother Justin Bradley. I'm the young brother who brought you guys back in 2017. BSU reunion. And okay. I'm just sitting back, soaking up game, man. But I remember these conversations.
And thanks for doing that. He this is Brother Moon. He's at the canteen, Main Street. You were there. Yeah. They're all BSU presidents.
Yeah.
This brother was there. It was called the Nugget when we were there.
It's
called the Nugget.
Is it called the Nugget? It's not called the Nugget no more?
No. Well, let me tell you the history. And
Rashid
knows this. The Nugget was... We had just a little cafeteria space. We didn't eat in a big cafeteria. We ate in a little corner. And the Nugget was named after J.P. Marsh. They named it J.P. Marsh. And then they cracked back and took the name off and made it grow into something else. I forget the name of it now. But Rashid was there when they named that the Nugget, J.P. Marsh Place, or something like that. Is that right, Rashid?
J.P. Marsh Coffee House.
Coffee House. All yes. Right. And that was after him and his martyrdom and his contribution. J.P. was non-compromising. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'd smoke him some weed and he'd go out there. And, Boy, he kicked our doors, brother, him and Rashid. And then, but thanks, Thomas, for doing that. This brother with the iPad, too.
Oh, I'm Ernie McBride Jr. You know me. So, anyway, yeah, a lot of guys you named off, like Johnny Calloway and Sonny Pitts. I knew a lot of them, but I was there early on campus because I went there 61 to 63.
Wow.
And I quit. And then, you know, because I was married, my wife had.
He was my first secretary. Tell the truth,
huh?
Linda was my first secretary. Right. Willie Martin. Right.
Willie Martin. You know, because I played with Willie. He was there, and they had the AKA Phi the fraternity, and that was kind of the only thing they had going at that time.
I knew
Pitts and all them, but they kind of came later after us. So.
Yeah, Jimmy Swan.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because Johnny Calloway and I, we ran together in high school, you know, and then we ran at City College for 2 years, and like in 57. And then he went on to state, and I quit after I graduated from City. Well, I got drafted in the Army from 61 to 63. And then when I came out, I played football at Cal State. State there for 63 and 64 season.
So you was with D?
Pardon?
Was you with D and Rambo?
Well, Rambo, no, I'm ahead of Rambo because like I'm, you know, about, well, I was with D, but see, I was like 4 or 5 years older than them. And D was the one that taught me to coming out in the city.
Okay.
He said, man, you ought to come out for the team in 60. And I said, man, I'm too old to be playing with you guys, you know. And he said, no, you can make the team because of your speed. You'd be the fastest guy on the team. And said, man, we go on these trips and blah, blah. So that's what made me go out, you know, in 60 for the football team.
Yeah.
And we won the Junior Rose, won the national championship. And then that following season, track, because I originally ran track with Johnny Calloway in 57 on the team. Mm-hmm. And then I came back in 61, and that's when D. Andrews was there and Willie Martin. Mm-hmm. So we played on that team, you know, and we had Coach Don Reed, I think, was the coach. And then later on, they got George Allen, you know, and then when he passed, that was it for football.
Yeah.
But Ron Settles. See, I worked with Ron's dad, man, for about 3 years at the airport in the late 50s. I think about 57, 58, 9, okay. Somewhere along
there. Ron Settles, yeah. Okay, well, brother, that's beautiful, man. I'm glad you on, brother.
Yeah, my brother Carl just left. You know him.
Yeah, he just left
a few minutes ago. So.
Oh, I wish I could have hollered at that boy.
Yeah, man, he left. I told him, man, wait, because we was trying to get the iPad going there, because usually my granddaughter do all this stuff for me. So.
Okay. Well, hey, man, we appreciate you being here. We going.
Yes, sir. It was a joy. You naming all those guys, girls. Earl Satchel and Johnny Calloway and them. I saw, I grew up with those guys, you know.
Yeah, we got some pictures I got to dig up. I got some pictures.
All right.
I got to dig up.
And Johnny Calloway was in the group, and then you was talking about war, you know, with Charles Miller and Eric Burton and those guys that got war up, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Jimmy Swan.
Right.
And I think he married, what's that, that sister that sang?
Thelma Houston.
All of that.
Comes to town, every time something come up, she shows up. Because I think they're going to name Long Beach Poly track for Don Norford and his wife on March 1st.
And
12 to 3 at this,
and then with
Poly track. Yes.
Oh, I didn't know nothing about that.
Yeah, so they
went to Poly.
I get email from Crystal Irvin, you know, the track coach, because she ran, we coached her back in 85 and 86, you know. And here she come back and turn out to be the coach.
What about,
so yeah,
what's the girl that ran track or played tennis? Gibson?
Oh, Billie Jean, not King.
No, not Billie Jean King. It was a sister. It went to Polly.
Ran track? And
No, she ran track. She played tennis or something.
No, she ended up with a dealer in Vegas. What's the name of? John Watson, went to her brother.
Yeah.
About her brother.
I can't remember. I think that, but anyway, if people forget what made Long Beach in the 60s strong was the basketball and football and track.
Yeah.
Right.
They made Black excellence.
Right.
Even when Tarkanian took over Long Beach State.
Oh, yeah. Man.
That's right. When he brought me, Sam, and George Trapp, and Sean Johnson and from Long Beach. He's the original Long Beach brother.
Because I think my uncle, Martin Veal, had some classes with you, I think.
Me and Martin Veal were roommates.
Yeah, Martin, yeah.
Yeah, I called him Pep. He took over the Black Athletic Association.
Oh, okay.
And he's up in Sacramento.
Yeah, he comes down. We see him at Christmas, but he didn't come this year. Sent a lot of Christmas cards. He said he'll see us later, you know?
Yeah, we eat breakfast with some old men every week.
Oh, okay.
Up in Sacramento. I talk to him.
Oh.
But listen, brother, we're going to carry on this. Brother King Fareed, how you doing?
I'm great. Can you hear me?
Yeah, brother. It's good that you're on.
First off, can I say a few things?
Yes, go ahead. Of course, you know we ain't going to stop you from that.
All right. First off, I want to say good evening, Barigani, Nubian kings and queens, and those of us of the diaspora. Good evening. And first off, to you, to your colleagues, for continuing to offer and pro-offer life-affirming insights and forward thinking. We couldn't be blessed any more than when you do it again.
Yeah.
So that's the foundation. The other side of it is everything I say about the BSU of Long Beach is experiential. It's firsthand. It's not hyperbole. It's what I experienced, what I saw, what I felt. And this is a subject that is extraordinarily dear to me. The first time I stepped foot on campus at Long Beach State was in the fall of 76. I got to Long Beach State coming out of high school a year and a half, just kind of meandering about, not, you know, having a direction. And a buddy of mine at that time who I'd been hanging around high school with was Danifu Sayed Kareem. Mm. He had come out of the institution and he was able to get into Long Beach State through a program. What he did for me, he invited me down there and I sat in front of Nap Harris. And we talked about me and my history and this and that. And I didn't have, you know, the backstory that Danifu had, but Nap Harris allowed me to come in. Thank God for Danifu. Thank God for Nap Harris. At the time, I got in that campus. And everything that took place from there, from 76 through 80, early 81, because I was a little slow in my classes, has been profound in my life. Absolutely profound. Starting with day one of me walking into the Black Studies, Amon Ra's Black Studies course. I forget the title of the course at the time, but this is day one and it's etched in my brain. I walked in and there was a lot of students in there and I just wanted to take a couple classes to learn some things because during my high school, we had the topical subjects. Nobody delved into Malcolm X. My parents talked about it, but at school, I got none of that. When I started my high school, it was probably 50-50 white and black. By the time I graduated high school, it was probably 95 black at that time. So, but I still didn't get that type of training and insight. So I didn't come to college with that. I was coming to college because my mom wanted to keep me off the streets. But when I walked into that class that day, and I saw Professor Raw standing there, and see if you remember this, Amon, standing there in a three-quartered black leather jacket, braids like Stevie Wonder long past his shoulder, sunglasses on. First thing came to my mind, is this black Jesus come to life? It was a visual for me. I hadn't seen that outside of pictures and TV for the Panthers. So I don't know nothing about that. But I was intrigued to begin with. Then he opened his mouth. And I start learning from that very first word till he stops opening his mouth. I'll continue to learn. And I was just hooked. I probably took about 10 of his classes, and he might be mad at me because some of them I didn't show up a lot. But I took them because the subject matter, when I went into class, it was robust. The discussions were lively. It was germane to who we were. And a lot of things that I learned from him and some of the other leaders at the time, Dr. Karanga, Beetson Salo, and some of the other people, really kind of etched my thinking. And one of the phrases that I retained from Dr. Karanga is this: reimagine the world in your own image and interest. And I took that to heart, and I started looking around at everything I saw and did and where I went and who I rode with, and I started reevaluating all of it. And it had to change. And fortunately for me, God is good. He had these other students come to the school in the next 1, 2, 3 years, or they were there, and I started connecting and being gravitated towards them, the Barry Thomases, the Sister Rose, the Michael Williams, the Jerry Davis, the Brother Jubals, the Diabetes, the Sister, excuse me for forgetting names right now, but these people, I gravitated toward them, and all we wanted to do was be better, not as individuals, but as a collective. With Dr. Ross's support and a few others that supported us, that Black Student Union that we were able to build from 76 forward became, to me, one of the strongest Black student unions in the Cal State system, to the extent that we were going to other schools with programs. Through that program, I got a chance to sit with and introduce Mr. Farrakhan. I got a chance to sit in front of Haki Madibuchi. I got a chance to sit in front of Chancellor Williams. I mean, it was just life-changing and absolutely profound to me. I still don't talk about this history. Out of that period also came, my name is Richard King Fareed, or R. King Fareed. That is my name. But that individual that I just said was born because of the Black Student Union, because of Dr. Raw, because of those things. It was born on that campus in 76. And I became official with the government in terms of passport and license, everything else, in King Fareed, Richard King Fareed. So I owe a great deal to that Black Student Union, to those people, to Dr. Raw, all the rest of them that were there to help shape a whole lot of new minds, young minds, impressionable minds.
Yes.
So I can go on about this. I don't want to go too far, but... For a guy like me?
Fareed.
Yeah.
See, we doing this in segment.
Okay, I'm going to be quiet.
The 60s, then we're going to go to the 70s, and then 75 to 70. Yeah.
Well, all my comments started 76.
Yeah. You're going to have your opportunity because you're going to be on. But
yes.
Brother I say, from Detroit. Brother Ahi, you have any comment? He's out of Detroit.
Yeah, Ahi is not able to talk. His mic is not working.
Okay. We heard you.
That was me.
His mic is not working. What about Mashinda? He's out of Louisiana in deep snow.
Is he still here?
Yeah. Mashinda?
No, he's not here. He must have left.
That must be you then. Okay, well, listen. We're going to continue this. McBride and all that. I sent the information to Martin and Carl, and I'm going to try to get them back because they were essential in the 70s, especially Martin. When we had ethnic group relations with Hank Johnson, who was an Asian, who worked at the dean's office, and we had an office that brought all the groups together, but we didn't develop the coalition that he envisioned. He brought us there together to really develop an alliance with each other to make us even stronger. But for some reason, we couldn't connect that. He wouldn't say that personally, that, you know, y'all need to get together and demonstrate and do that and do that. But you got to remember, we was in the midst of the Vietnam War. And as Stokely said, hell no, we ain't going. We ain't going to go. And other things that happened. But this has been a beautiful experience this evening.
Professor Robert, excuse me.
Yeah.
We got Genji and Lionel Henson. I don't think you went to them. And
okay, where they at? I don't see them.
Genji's right here.
But then, oh, Genji, she's the essential sister.
Yes.
And she was there when we first started. She's a Rasta now.
Yes.
Go ahead, Genji.
Here you go.
You're on mute. You're still on mute.
Can't hear you.
Yeah. Genji's strong sister. She's still on mute. You still on mute, Genji.
Can't hear you.
How often are you going to do this, Professor Amara?
We're going to do it for the rest of this month, every Tuesday at 6 p.m.
Okay.
And then we're going to go to all the month of February, because it's going to go all the way up to 2004. We're going to get Dr. Karang on in the, because he took over the department after me. But he came in 79, and he has a lot to talk about. Okay. His first impressions when he first got there. And then,
okay, let's see, right. I wonder.
Hey.
Hey, greetings, y'all. Wow, I love the history. Oh, I feel like I'm in the desert being fed, okay? Water. The background history is just phenomenal. Just phenomenal, Amun-Ra. I never knew, because, you know, I thought it was all about us. I mean, Fareed really, his enthusiasm. He just reminded me of our young selves and what we wanted to do and what we did do. And all of the persons that we met during that time, Dr. Robert Staples, Hakeem Matabutu, yes, Rashidine came on and turned my world upside down. And Fareed was talking about walking into your class. It was September 1976, and I walked into the class, Psychology of the Black Athletes.
Exploitation of the Black
Athletes. Okay, there it is. I met Mashariki there, who we still buzz to this day. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. Changed my life, put me in touch with myself that I'm still experiencing to this day.
Well, you're free. Once you know who you are, it don't make no difference where you are, what they do to you. As long as you maintain that discipline, it's hard to stay Black. We had a lot of people that was Black on campus turned white when they left. A lot of the Black faculty that were there in the 60s, they all left and married white women.
Wow.
Exactly. White, all of them did. They went to Irvine. And Clyde Taylor, he went to Mills College, the all-white girl college. But they were strong.
Wow.
We remember them for their contribution. Not
that's
their
right.
And we give praise and thanks to them for that. And even you, Genji, you was one of the strongest sisters, mobilizing and vocal, very vocal. Even though you were young, you were vocal.
So. Right. I remember the name changing ceremony.
Yeah.
Wow. That was an experience. And as Fareed mentioned, my ID says Genji on there. Yes, my passport says Genji, and I never went and asked nobody. I just did it.
Yeah.
To this day. Okay.
That's how Kwanzaa was started. They didn't demonstrate, they didn't ask the government. To this day, you know, the people made Kwanzaa, not
that's
the
right.
government. It wasn't,
that's
they
right.
didn't ask for no proclamations and none of that. So, you know, that's strong, that's strength. And so we got to keep on pushing. But Genji, you essential. What year was you there?
I was there. I started in 76, and I believe by 77 I became president. And Rose after me. I'm not sure. I think it was me, Jerry, and Rose.
Maja Liwa.
Yes.
Yeah, and then we had some great presidents. Great presidents of the BSU.
And we put on some phenomenal programs. I mean, the Black Consciousness Conference, come on.
Come on. Well, we talk about that in 79 when we get to 79. You know, okay. I'm going to bring that up.
We jumping in. We excited about our time.
Yeah. Black Consciousness Conference started when we went to the State of the Race conferences that were started by the Pan-African Secretariat. Yeah. They had one in 78, 79, I think at Pepperdine. And somewhere else, and that's when Haki, Dr. Ben, Francis Creswell. They had the second one at Davis Junior High, and then they had the third one at Castlegate up north. And I took students there, and on the way back, we with Jerry Davis, Michael Williams, and a bunch of students, we went there, and that's when we said, we're gonna start a conference. And that's when we got the Black Consciousness Conference. Because everybody was talking, are you conscious? Are they conscious? Because we considered Black people that wasn't active, unconscious.
That's right. To their face. Yeah. We said this to their face. It wasn't behind their back. It was to their face. We let them know.
Oh, the bake sales, everybody was just participating, but the Black Study Student Association came into being also. So we're going to talk about that next week. Okay. I just want to tell all of y'all, this has been a beautiful experience. And I always love to see my brother Squeaky because we come from the same background. We both street. Yeah. And when we got to Long Beach State, we came with Black credentials. You see, a lot of people turned Black, but we were already there. We were gangsters before that. And so we was hard. But anyway, next week we'll be doing the same thing, but we're gonna cover 1970 all the way up to 75. And so I want y'all to be there. And we cannot leave out the fact that Thibede Grayson is the one that reorganized the BSU and got it organized as far as the preamble, as far as the Constitution. He laid it out, and he was probably one of a very progressive among the other great leaders of the BSU. We're going to hear from him. We're going to hear from a lot of people. It's going to be like a reunion, but we need to document this. This will be on YouTube. And we're here every Wednesday, every Tuesday and Wednesday. CEN, Community Education Network, presents its program with Brother
Rashiki.
Mascani, he's going to tell you what's going to be on tomorrow night. And then, we've been doing this. We've had Craig Hodges on, we've had Glenn McDonald on, we've had a lot of strong people on, we've had Maulana on, Dr. Karenga, we had a number of people that has been part of our show. So we want, if you know somebody that has something to say that's conscious and uplifting, we don't talk negative. They can't come on here talking about Black people ain't doing nothing and we ain't nothing. And, Black on Black crime. We don't want to hear all that. You understand? We want to hear positive growth. This foundation history got to be documented, and I'm hoping that we'll transcribe this as a part of a book, the sayings and the conversation. So make sure you put your input in because you're going to be a part of a book. All right, then. We're going to Brother Rashiki, you want to go ahead and tell them about tomorrow and take us home?
Okay. Yes. Let me show you the flyer for tomorrow. So we have a security organization coming on tomorrow. They are ex-Marines, and they're going to be talking about the various levels of trafficking. So that should be very interesting.
Okay.
That's what we have going on tomorrow.
All right.
What time?
Same time, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Okay.
All right, we'll be.
Also, Professor Rob, this brother Jow.
Yeah, Jow. Oh, I'm sorry, Jow.
I just want you to know that all.
We can't hardly hear you. You're breaking up. You're breaking up, Jow.
No, okay, okay. Okay, bad connection. I'll get you next.
You're clear now. You're clear now.
Okay. Yeah, I just want you to know that before I was even a part of the BSU, brother, I met all those brothers. I met Woodrow Nichols and Earl Parker and all those brothers in the community before I even became a part of the BSU. And those brothers befriended me and schooled me to the community in Long Beach. And it's just funny how that's how I even embraced the Black Student Union, not even knowing that those brothers were a part of the organizing of the Black Student Union. So that's pretty profound. And you know, I come out of Oakland. I came out of the Black Panther community when I was a youngster. And I grew up right there in Oakland around the Black Panther Party. And my mother never wanted me to even have a leather coat, but I was always running behind the Black Panther Party as a youth, ride my bicycle to the rallies and always checking them out. So it's just amazing how life goes full. But I just want to say that, brother, and I look forward to continuing to be a part of this, you know, this knowledge.
But not only you, the first president that was president of the BSU and president of a fraternity at the same time. That's how unified we were.
Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir.
That's great. So, hey, we want to tell, we wish all y'all blessings without numbers, all good things without end. Hope that you would tune in and share this information with others. And if you keep the link, give it to other people that you think might want to be a part. There, we're looking forward to hearing from you and the contributions you made, because this brother kept Black Studies open, got Maulana back hired with his demonstration and leadership, wrote the Constitution, or reconstituted the Black Student Union, and wrote the preamble that I hope he reads it, because it's one of the best preambles all BSU should use. We not
absolutely.
So we're gonna have that. So all right, I'm gonna say two-time knowledge to everybody with me. I'll see you later. And that
two-time
y'all blessings long as the rivers flow and the sun shine. All right then. See y'all next week.
Hopefully. Next week.
All right.
Thanks for good. Sisters.
Yeah.
Real good.
Wonderful.
Okay, good folks.
All right. Peace.